to this, our Sunday message, Sunday the 11th of August 2024. To start with, I'd like to read a scripture from the New Testament, the Gospel of Luke chapter 9, and I'm just going to read from verse 51 to 53. Luke chapter 9, verse 51 to 53. And it came to pass, when the time was come, that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face. And they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the divine inspiration of your word. And we ask that the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that inspired that word, would bring this word to light in our hearts and as we speak. Anoint our ears to hear and grant us the spirit of revelation, that our hearts might understand and wills that are ready to receive and to act on that which you are saying to us today. We ask it in the mighty name of Yeshua. The title of this message is Facing Our Fears. Facing Our Fears. Now, I'm sure by now most of us realize that God is for us. He wants us to do well in life. He wants us to break forth to the north, the south, the east, and the west, as it were. He wants us to do well in every sphere of our lives and to be a blessing. We are blessed to be a blessing. That is his purpose for our lives. On the other side, however, there is an enemy, the enemy of our souls, as the Bible describes him, and his desire for you and my life is exactly the opposite. It's not his will for us to succeed. It's his will that we fail miserably in every area of our lives and ultimately in our spiritual growth and ultimate salvation. Now, the enemy is a very deceitful foe. And although God is for us, you would have thought that we would all just automatically experience victory. We must realize that the devil has got strategies that he uses quite successfully in many, many cases. The key is to understand his strategy and to know what to do to overcome them. One of his chief methods of operating is the use of fear. If you do a very close study of the Bible, you'll notice something, that wherever there's an opportunity for faith to arise, the devil is there quickly to try and bring fear. If we remember Jairus asking the Lord to come and heal his daughter, who was on the point of death, they're on their way to the house, and what comes along? A messenger. And the message is very simply, don't waste any more time, it's pointless. The child is dead. Now that is news that would bring fear into any heart of any person, especially a father. But what did the Lord say to him? Immediately he said to Jairus, don't be afraid, only believe. The Lord recognized this was an attack to try and thwart the purposes of God. And that pattern plays itself out in your and my lives in many, many ways. The devil's standard strategy is always when you and I are about to launch out on something, something good, something positive, something that would extend the kingdom of heaven, his strategy is to bring fear. He brings fear, and if we yield to that fear, that great step forward doesn't take place. Using this strategy, the devil has been able to force people into, as it were, going round and round the mountain. If we don't move up, we stay at the same place and ultimately we go backwards. And what happens, you see, is we're going round the mountain, something comes up, an opportunity, maybe an open door, a stepping stone to something greater, to something higher. Standard procedure of the enemy right there, through whatever means possible, be it the voice of somebody else, people we know, circumstance, inner voice, whatever you want to call it. But what does he do? He brings fear. And you see, at that moment when that fear arises, we have to make a choice. And if we choose to go through, despite the fear, there is a possibility that we can move to greater things. Now, the Lord, you'll understand, was on the earth very successful in his ministry, but there came the time. He knew very well the time had now arrived for him to be taken up. Now, that phrase, to be taken up, is actually a euphemism, because although it was glorious that he was going to be taken up, we all know what had to happen before he could be taken up. He was looking at this terrible event which he knew about that was coming up, his crucifixion. He knew that he had to die. He had to face the pain of death, and death at the hands of people that desperately wanted to harm him, to destroy him. He was facing brutal torture. He knew he had to be crucified before he could be taken up. And we might just have the false impression that for him it was just another day's work. Well, if you go back to the Garden of Gethsemane, you'll know that this was a big challenge in his life, to the extent that he said to the Father, if it's possible, by any means possible, take this cup away from me. The point is, he was dreading it. Yes, he was afraid of it. But despite that fear, he faced up to it. He embraced it, went through it, and as a result, brought glory not only to himself, but to you and I. The point is, he set his face. He knew that he had to face something, but he did not shrink back. He did not step back and say, well, maybe not today, maybe tomorrow. And you see, that's the devil's strategy for you and I. A lot of people struggle with procrastination. Procrastination is putting something off. And always, the reason for putting something off is because to set out in that direction involves some form of inconvenience, unpleasantness, or fear. You think of the Proverbs scripture which speaks about the sluggard on his bed, turning this way and that. And what is he saying to himself? There's a lion in the streets. There's a lion in the streets. I could be destroyed. I could be killed. That is the typical style of the enemy. You and I, at one level, the opportunity arises to move to another level, and what happens, as if on cue, some thought, information comes our way that breeds fear, and we start saying in our minds, there's a lion in the street, I could be killed, it could be a failure, I could be exposed publicly, etc. Now, obviously, the question is there a lion in the street? The sluggard wouldn't know. Where does that thought come from? You understand? The enemy of his soul made sure that he was afraid. Because he was afraid, he stayed where he was. And God wants us to know this lesson, that he doesn't want us to stay where we are. Every single great man of faith, you will see in their life, at some stage, had to face up to their fears and take positive action. You think of Abraham, the child of promise, his beloved son Isaac. The day comes when God says you have to sacrifice your son. It's very interesting to note if you want to read it, but in Genesis 22 verse 3, with this information in his mind that God wanted him to sacrifice his son, although he knew somehow God would raise him up, he knew that. But despite that, he had to face up to his fear. And what did he do? It says very specifically, early the next morning he arose. Early. And it wasn't as if he rose and said, what a wonderful day this is going to be. No, I'm sure there was dread in his heart. But what did he do? He stood up and he faced his fear. And as a result, we all know the outcome. For you and I, even living today, we are blessed because of the blessings of Abraham. Another classic example, of course, is David facing off against Goliath. After all that discussion in the camp about this giant and Saul saying, be blessed, and giving him his armor, which David refused. David goes down, runs to the brook, and as soon as the giant starts to open his mouth, he has a few words to say to him, and then he runs towards this giant. He runs towards the giant. Isn't that amazing? He didn't sort of dilly-dally, waver, go this way, go that way, think about it. No, got his stones, got his sling ready and ran towards the giant. There's a wonderful lesson in that. Our son went on a bush camp once with his school, and it was a parents' day, and all the parents gathered there to see their precious child in his environment. And one of the features of this camp was a waterfall, and I think it was about 5 meters above the water there was a rock, and the young men were challenged to jump off this rock into the pool. And that's quite a jump if you have to look down. And obviously now the time came for all the fathers to show how brave they were. Well, of course, I didn't go for it. I didn't feel it necessary. But there was one father who did feel it necessary. And he got onto this rock and obviously looked down and he had second thoughts, you see. And I think he spent the rest of the day dithering on this rock, deciding whether he was going to do it or not, fighting with his fear. Quite understandable. To this day, I don't know if he eventually jumped. But the point is, you see, he waited. He waited for something to happen, I don't know what. David didn't wait. He went straight in, faced his fear. And as a result, we know the outcome. He set his course to become king. There's another example in the Bible. You think of Jonathan. He's out one day with his armor bearer, and he just decides, well, let's go and take on the enemy. The enemy camp outnumbers him 600-1, practically. Plus, they're on top of a ridge. That's not good strategy from a military point of view, to climb up to your enemy. But David says to his servant, let's go. And the servant says, what's in your heart? Let's do it. They ran towards. And you know what? They routed the enemy and gave Israel a great victory. We need to pick up the spirit of this thing. You see, you and I have got to learn how to face up to our fears. It's a habit. Another example that's not such a good one in a way, but just shows that it takes all kinds of people. Not everybody maybe has the boldness of a David or a Jonathan. Look at what happened to Gideon. Gideon, as you know, was in a very compromising situation, and the enemy had surrounded them. The Midianites would come and wipe them out on a regular basis. So much so that Gideon would thresh the wheat, something that's normally done in the outdoors so that the wind can carry the chaff away. No, he was doing it inside a press, you see, for fear. Man of fear. And the angel of the Lord comes and says, oh, Gideon, you mighty man of valor. He gets such a fright, and I'm sure he thought to himself, who are you talking to? But we know that God worked with him. What did God have to do? Help him overcome his fear. And eventually Gideon did it and became a hero. The point is that before Gideon could do what had to be done for God, he had to overcome his fear. Now, the message is very simply this. Please understand, to go forward for God, there will always be a challenge. And very, very often, that challenge will take the form of fear rising in your and my heart. The question is not whether you and I are afraid. Can I just say that fear is something that is quite natural? It's not a sin to be afraid. It's not a sin to be afraid. However, what has to be done is we have to learn how to take our heart in our hands and to confront our fear. We must learn to face our fear. We must learn that fear can be overcome, but it can only be overcome if we are prepared to face it. In other words, to proceed despite our fears. I learned a valuable lesson as a young man. I went on a course known as Outward Bound. It was a course for young people out in the countryside, and it involved rock climbing, canoeing, bushcraft basically, hiking, camping, etc. For wonderful experience in the whole, although extremely stressful physically. And one of the courses was rock climbing, which includes climbing up the rock and abseiling down. Now, the first step was we went to a place where there was a few little boulders hanging around, and the instructor said, well, your first task is to climb onto these little boulders. When I say little, perhaps 2 meters high maximum, with plenty of footholds. Anyway, I assaulted this little boulder, as it were, and to be honest, I was absolutely terrified. I have always been very afraid of heights, and I took my heart in my hands and managed to somehow clamber up this little boulder. Well, that was step number one. Step number two was yet another challenge, which was slightly bigger, etc. And then we started abseiling, which is going down a rock face with the rope. And we started on a small rock face, small slope, and it got bigger and bigger. Well, what happened? By the end of the course, our final abseiling experience was, I think it was about a 20 to 30 meter drop-off, sheer drop-off cliff. And by that stage, my fear of heights had been so diminished that I gladly just jumped over and went down. It was a miracle when I think back. My point is this, that you see, the fear was there. But by being forced to confront that fear, I overcame it. As a result, I grew and my capacity to deal with fear grew as well. God is looking for brave people in this day and age. He needs people that are unafraid. And you see, we need to grasp the fact that if God is for us, nothing can be against us. Nothing can succeed against us. Let's go to Romans 8:31-39. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. We need to allow those words to really grip our heart. And as we do that, we've got to learn that when fear comes our way, if we back down, we give the devil a foothold in our lives. And if you and I make a habit of continually backing down, it's almost like the enemy, he's got us stuck in a little corral with a whip. And if we dare come near the door, all he has to do is crack the whip and back we go. And as a result of that, we never ever move out and beyond. We have to be like the Lord. Set our face as flint. This challenge can come in many forms. In fact, very often it's in the church setting that this challenge comes. We find that if we read the Bible, Holy Spirit services are supposed to be characterized by people sharing what is in their hearts. Not only praying, not only worshiping, teaching, prophesying, being a mouthpiece for God. And you'd think that that would come very easily. Because we find that when given a chance, people love to talk, especially with a cup of coffee in their hand. However, in a church environment, when the opportunity comes, sometimes just to talk to God or to prophesy on behalf of God, what happens? The mouths clam up. What causes that? Fear. Supernatural, Satan-inspired fear. I've even had a young man, you'd have thought strength in every area, bold, say to me, I can't come to church because I don't want to speak in public. I don't want to come to church. I'm too afraid of speaking in public. Let me ask a question. We are called upon to witness to every creature, are we not? What chance is there of a person who won't speak in public in a friendly church environment would have the courage to speak to a stranger about the gospel? Who's behind all of that? Who has every interest in the gospel not being proclaimed? Who is it, do you think, that when you think perhaps that person needs to hear the gospel, makes you think, well, most likely they'll reject me? As people, as humans, one of our greatest fears is the fear of being rejected by fellow human beings, strange as it may seem. We hate the thought of being rejected. The Bible describes it as the fear of man and goes on to explain that the fear of man brings a snare. By being afraid of people, we get caught in some kind of a trap. And you see, God's will is for you and I to break out of that. If God is for us, who can be against us? Yes, we do need wisdom. We don't want to offend people for the wrong reasons. But that doesn't mean we can't be bold. You can be bold and gentle at the same time. But we need to be bold. The gospel will never be proclaimed unless the people of God are bold. And how do we become bold? Well, the starting place is to confront our fears. We need to look very carefully in our lives and check out, with the help of the Holy Spirit, what is it that I am afraid of? One man of God challenged the men in his church. He said, if you ever get angry in a situation, before you do anything, ask yourself, what am I afraid of? Normally, when we are afraid, it gets expressed in anger. Many people get angry when you point out something that they know is right, that they know is true, because they're afraid of it. Why are we so afraid of talking in public? Why are we so afraid of people talking into our lives? Why do we get so defensive? Very often, it's because, you see, up till then we've been living in our own little bubble. And in your and my bubble, we always emerge as the hero. We'll always find a reason for doing what we are doing. And when somebody confronts that, you see, for the first time we have to be exposed to perhaps what we really are. And that's frightening. That's frightening. But you see, we have to go through that. We have to be available for that. Very often, young men are terrified of asking a girl to go out with him, you see. That same man is a hero on the rugby field, and he's probably very brave in many ways. But when he sees a girl that he really likes, and he has to ask her, something just troubles him. Why? Well, you see, there's the real possibility she might say no. And if she says no, then he's got to confront the reality that perhaps he's not such a great person that he would like to think himself to be. It's a very lonely business ministering the gospel on your own. For years, I used to travel around and I said to the Lord, I need a wife, you see. And he gave me some very practical advice, which I always share. And he said, whenever you go somewhere, just make a point of inviting one of the girls out. Do it above board. Talk to the pastor about it and just say that's what you'd like to do if it's all right with him. And you see, that's what I did. Now, what God was confronting in me was the fear of being rejected, you see. And by putting his finger on it, I did that. And in very short order, I was happily married. What did I have to do? I had to confront that fear. It's not uncommon in life. People in the sales industry, what is the biggest thing that differentiates between people who are successful at sales and those who aren't? The ones who aren't stay in the office and drink coffee. The ones that are go out, suffer the rejection of all the 101 people that say, no, I don't want your product, but eventually find those who do. Boldness, you see, is what wins the day in every situation. And God has called us to be bold. We have nothing to be afraid of, ultimately, if God is with us. And so I'm encouraging us, let's not be people that cower. And remember, the man that was afraid of the lion in the street, if he had to go out, would probably discover that there wasn't a lion after all. I don't know how this has been proved, but apparently there are papers on it, scientific papers. And they give a percentage, something between 80 and 90% of what everybody fears never comes to pass. It might even be higher than that. That's how terrorism works. A few people sowing fear make a vast majority of people scared to act because they are afraid. You can have great control if you're prepared to sow terror and fear. But we as children of God mustn't fall for it. We have no reason to be afraid. I'd just like to read in closing scriptures Isaiah 41:8-10. But you, Israel, are my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, descendants of Abraham, my friend, you whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from its furthest regions, and said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not cast you away. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Listen to these beautiful words. You are my servant. We are his servants. He has chosen us and has not cast us away. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And one last scripture, Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Romans 8, 31 to 39. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. My prayer is that you and I will be bold, will not be ashamed, that we will identify those points in our lives where we have allowed fear to creep in, for whatever reason, and that we'd be courageous, we'd face those fears, break through them, as it were, into the next realm. And as we do so, we can see God's grace and God's presence in our lives in a greater and greater measure, so that we'll move from one degree of glory to the next and ultimately be received into heaven, where there is no need for fear at all. Be blessed in the wonderful name of Yeshua. Amen.